Blog Talk Radio.
Do not receive him into your house. Do not give him a greeting.
for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. So we are not supposed to associate with them. Do not associate with them. It's frightening. It really is frightening. But people get into this. You have to be tolerant. And tolerant means, as Christians, we're supposed to allow everyone else to walk all over us. But don't you ever say anything that might be a little bit offensive to someone of a different faith. And it's so ironic that people that are screaming the loudest about freedom, screaming the loudest about tolerance, are intolerant to the max. They're intolerant. And I was going, why? What is this? And I know this already. But when you see it written in simple English, in a simple form, the light comes on. We just went down to California to do my aunt's funeral. And for the most part, most of the people, now some of the people, family and friends and her friends in their 80s and 90s are churched and some are Christians. But for the most part, there's just, you know, it's not that way. It doesn't mean the people aren't nice folks. And it doesn't mean the people don't have pure hearts. But a matter of knowing Christ, of actually having a relationship with Jesus that's real, there's a difference, because we got into some conversations and some testimony and some sharing. And this right that I'm going to read to you right now, I love these little simple things that Anne Graham Lotz writes every day. This verse just kind of sums it up. He says, "He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you." John 16:14. Listen to this. "Without the Holy Spirit to clarify the truth to our minds and confirm who Jesus is in our hearts, we would see Jesus as just a man or a holy man or a prophet or a symbolic figure." Now, I want to stop there for a minute. That's the first part of her little comment. If you're talking to people and they don't believe that Jesus is God, they don't believe Jesus is the Messiah, this is where they are. Now, if there's people that go to your church, or you know people that go to church and they don't believe Jesus is God, then they're not Christians. They might be religious, they might be Presbyterians, Baptists, or Pentecostals, but they're not Christians, because they don't understand, and there's a reason they don't understand that, is because the Holy Spirit is not in them. You cannot be born again. You cannot be a Christian born again, born from above, unless the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if he does, he will explain to you in your heart, clarify the truth to your mind, that Jesus is not just a man or a holy man or a prophet or a symbolic figure. There's a lot of people that would acknowledge that. But the next part of what she said is just, listen, "But the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see and our minds to know," or the eyes and ears of our minds and heart. He opens us up and our hearts to receive that Jesus is more than just a man or just a prophet or just a teacher or just a revolutionary or an icon or a symbol. What happens when the Holy Spirit comes into you and unions with your spirit, that you are then able to realize that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the reigning King, God himself in the flesh. We were able to talk to some folks who in my family with Jewish background, and they believe in God, but they don't believe Jesus is God. They don't believe in Jesus as God's son or God, because they believe he was real. They believe he was a man. They believe he's like a prophet guy, a really symbolic figure, but they don't believe that he's God. And that is not unique just to them. It's pretty much where everyone is that doesn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. That's just the way it is. So we can look at people. We cannot expect people who do not know Jesus to act like they do and the way we think that we should act or others should act that know Jesus, because it's impossible. It is impossible. Now, you could say the words, and you could give a tip of your hat as acknowledgement. Well, that could very well be, or that might be. But those are the same kind of people, when you talk to them, they go, I hope I can go to heaven. I hope I'm good enough for God. I hope that God is pleased with me and my attitude. I hope that I'm doing good stuff. Well, that's the wrong hope. You can't just, you know, jinx curses, you know, salt over your shoulder and all this stuff and little, you know, rabbit's foot in your pocket. And none of that. Jesus died on the cross. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. He shed his blood. God sent his son in human flesh to die for us. His blood covers our sins. All sin, past, present, and future, of all people. That sometimes people, and we had that situation this last week, people not understanding, or actually maybe not even wanting. They want a relationship with God that's so powerful, they want it to be more powerful than everybody else's. Here's the deal. God's relationship with you is the most powerful relationship you can ever have. And don't worry and bother yourself with other people's relationship with God. Don't worry and wonder how can God love them the same as he loves you, because you want somebody to really lavish their love on you. God loves you more than you can even imagine, exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you could ever hope or imagine. That's what the scripture says. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God in you, you might just think Jesus is a man or a holy man or a prophet or a good guy or a symbolic figure. But once he comes in and you have this mystical relationship, it's spiritual. It's not a physical thing, but there are some physical manifestations after the fact. But his spirit unions with your spirit and brings birth to your spirit. Now you can see in your mind's eye and in your heart that Jesus is not just a man or a holy man or a prophet or a symbolic figure or even a revolutionary, but that he is truly the Messiah of Israel, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the reigning King, and God himself. When Jesus was in Gethsemane, and it's interesting to go to Israel and to have been in Gethsemane and see the place, there's a scripture. Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there. You guys are going to be here. I am going to be over there." He actually went by himself to pray. Matthew 26:36. Another little comment by Anne Graham. Listen to what she said. The betrayal and arrest of Jesus was preceded by an extended time of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he stepped out of the garden to present himself to his enemies, Jesus had been alone, praying and agonizing for hours, wrestling with the will of his Father for his life, sweating what seemed to be great drops of blood in his effort. Throughout his agony, he received the personal ministration of angels who helped him to renew his strength. And he overcame the supreme temptation of the enemy to defy God's purpose, choosing instead to go to the cross. His humble submission to his Father's will must have given him a mantle of power that cloaked him for the nine-hour journey that would take him through six different trials, the inhumane cruelty of physical torture, the ultimate rejection of those he loved, and the climax of his own crucifixion and death on a Roman cross. Now, how is it that you and I think we can make it through the grueling journey of life without that same humble submission to the Father? You see, I see people wanting the Holy Spirit. I see people wanting the power. I see people wanting healing and great words spoken over them and prophecies spoken over them and all the wonderful flowery things and stuff, speaking in tongues and casting out demons. And by the way, you better know Jesus if you're going to cast out demons. Check out the seven sons of Sceva. But the bottom line is, all that flowery stuff, but do we ever look at it as, I want to have the same humble submission to the Father that Jesus had? Now, what did that humble submission look like? He humbled himself to be killed. He gave his life. He submitted to the Father and gave his life. He endured physical torture. Those he loved rejected him, turned their back on him. And the ultimate aspect was he was crucified and he died. The crucifixion doesn't always, rarely would kill you. The crucifixion didn't kill you. It was hanging there, suffocating, that would kill you. So nails into your hands and nails into your feet. I would imagine probably, well, maybe not everyone, because that's going too far. But I think a good percentage of it. You're talking to me right here. I've had a nail in my knee. I've had a nail in my hand. I've had a drill in my arm, a drill bit drill into my arm. I've had nails come up through my feet, through my shoe, from the bottom and come up through the top. I watched a guy have a drill bit, a long drill bit, run through the floor of an airplane underneath in construction, up into his shoe, into his foot, and into his sock, and drill through his foot. So you can absolutely survive holes in your hands or wrist, holes in your feet. The hole in his side was horrific, but you can have a hole in your side and survive. His purpose was not to be cut up a little bit and hurt a little bit and then survive. His goal was reached. He was to die. And Jesus died and suffered through all of that for you, not for himself, not to gain himself a position with the Father, but he did that for you. And how did he do that? He did it by submitting. You see, because when he wasn't strengthened as God, he was strengthened as man. He was human. He was in human flesh. So the strengthening that came from the angels, the personal ministration of the angels, renewed that physical strength to continue to press on. But spiritually, he's God. And he knew what he was doing. So don't ever get a picture that Jesus was dragged through the streets or shackled and drugged through the streets screaming. He gave his life. He submitted to the Father's wish. Because the Father says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So that's why I think there's a stern warning to us that you don't even give greetings to people who do not accept the Lord. Now, here's what we're talking about. People who are fake. Let's go back and look. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ. In other words, Jesus says to love your neighbor. Jesus says to love people. Jesus, the thing that Jesus teaches us to do. If you have somebody that doesn't want to do any of those and doesn't care. You know, when you meet people that don't know Christ, but they're moral, have you met those people? I've met a lot of them. They don't know Christ, but they're moral. They don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ at all. In fact, they may not even believe that Jesus is real, but they're moral. I mean, they live a moral life. They have moral fiber, and you try to figure out where it came from. But they don't believe that Jesus is real. Don't be hanging out with them and fellowshipping with them and dropping your level of understanding to their level and hanging out there. John went on to say this. He goes, yeah, having many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink. But I hope to come to you and speak face to face that your joy may be made full. The children of your chosen sister greet you. In other words, the church here where I am, they greet you. Interestingly enough, what's he do? He writes a letter. And we're going to dig into that tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Remember, we're going to try and keep this between 15 to 30 minutes. We're just going to stay in the 15 to 30-minute range. So you can get some good stuff. Get into the Word. Let the Word get into you. Spend time in the Word. See what God has for you. And you will be just wash yourself in the water of the Word every day, morning, noon, and night. It will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. And God will be able to use you because if you don't know it, you can't show it. See, if you don't know it, you can't show it. It ain't going to happen. Okay, so I want you to have that right relationship with Christ, and I want you to grow in a relationship with him. Tomorrow we're going to look at it again, for the first time, 3 John, and see what more information he would have to tell us about and what he would say, and the way he would say it. Remember, the first letter was long. Second two letters are pretty short, 13 verses in the second, 14 verses in the third. So not a lot, but boy, there's a powerful message there that gets completely reverberated and repeated over and over throughout the Scriptures. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and he'll direct your path. That's the bottom line. So you guys have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow here at 11 o'clock.